All Things Bix, as the Jazz Festival marks 2026 with new backing that could help secure its future. Plus, getting the doors to the Bix Museum open. Just as the Bix 7 Road Race is an uphill battle, so are the efforts to continuously hold the Jazz Festival that also holds Leon Bix Beiderbecke's name. But now the Bix Jazz Society has teamed up with the nonprofit Common Cord to provide additional backing for the festival's 55th year. I was joined by Common Cord Executive Director Tyson Danner and Bix Society Advisory Committee Member Josh Duffy. Thank you both for joining us. We were talking about the fact that the Bix Beiderbecke Society and the Jazz Festival and Common Cord, it really works together in a good way. This partnership makes sense.
It makes a lot of sense to us. You know, we were partners for a number of years, helping each other out and doing programming, and eventually thinking about the 55th year, which is a big year for the festival, the 55th anniversary, we said, you know, why don't we, wouldn't there be a way to team up more to make more good things happen? So focused on making sure the festival continues for another 55 years and beyond. I think, you know, the Bix Society had a dedicated group of passionate volunteers, and Common Cord had a lot of staff expertise and experience producing events, and we've mixed those together, and I think we're seeing some good results.
Well, for the Bix Society, just keeping this festival going can be very difficult. As Tyson said,
right.
Volunteers,
right.
It's not easy, and the skill levels, you're trying to weave whatever you can get.
Right.
Does this kind of put the society more on a solid ground as far as the festival is concerned?
Oh, I feel so. And as he said, I think this is going to project us into the next 55 years here locally. And our big thing is preserving that legacy of Bix Beiderbecke here in the Quad Cities. So people can come from all over the world, come to Davenport, get the Bix experience with all the sights around town, but the music. And that's something that I don't see in other festivals, is like they had just their basic festival, but we have the Bix Festival, and the community really embraces that every year this comes around.
Now, the Jazz Festival had been a number of venues in earlier years. We were talking Danceland, even at the Call Ballroom.
Yes.
It would be at LeClaire Bandshell. It was up at the Clarion.
Yes.
Or was it
the
Holiday Inn?
In the old days, yes.
Sorry. Gosh, am I dating myself.
Original.
Yeah, yeah. So it was everywhere. Lately, it's been over at Rhythm City, kind of one location.
Yes.
But the roots seem to always have been downtown.
Yes, yeah. So that's where everything started. We've been up at the Rhythm City, and the nice thing with Common Cord and with the Bix Society is now we can see where we want to take it, whether keep it at Rhythm City or move it downtown. We have a lot of things to start looking at for the future because we've come into this. The ground is already running, so it's like, oh my gosh, let's run with this model. Once the festival's done, we'll be able to all sit down and be like, hey, what looks good now for the next 55 years? And just start looking at things that way.
And one of the areas where the expansion is occurring that we've noticed is that you've got a silent movies at the Last Picture Show, which is kind of expanding the venue, expanding the presence of Bix and that era.
Well, one of Common Cord's strength is we have really deep roots in a lot of places in the community. You know, we've only been around for 20 years, we haven't been around for 55 years, but our programs are such that we build lots of partnerships in unexpected places, really. You wouldn't necessarily think a music organization is working with the movie, the cinema a lot. But we've actually worked with the Last Picture House on a couple rooftop concerts and some things. And Josh, you could speak a little bit about the film idea and how that came to Last Picture House.
Yeah, so down in Muscatine, they have the Eagles and Ivories Ragtime Festival. And so Jeff Barnhart and I, within the last few years, started providing the live accompaniment and sound effects to silent films. We're like, well, why don't we bring that to Davenport? We have the Last Picture House downtown. This is a cool theater. It is another indoor venue for people to come and watch this. But to experience having that live effect and live music being done on the spot. And so they'll get to see a film from Buster Keaton. They'll get to see a film from Fatty Arbuckle and from Harold Lloyd. And this coat actually belonged to Harold Lloyd, so that's why I was wearing it in here. It's like this. I'm wearing history.
Are you serious?
I'm serious. His name is inside the coat. So, yeah. So I'll be wearing this coat while he's on the screen. It's like it brings all that like full circle. But for people to sit there and even young kids to experience this, this is what it was like back in the 1910s and 20s.
How'd you get this jacket?
Oh, I found it online.
That's incredible. Well, then it has to be real.
But you're right. You know, downtown Davenport has so many assets to offer with the partnerships, with the venues down there. Our Redstone Room is downtown on 2nd Street, moving into the first floor of our building. And there's all these opportunities. I mean, we have Hotel Black Hawk right there with a great history where Bix himself played. And there's a lot of opportunity. And I think our local audience, the festival is made up of a lot of folks from around the country, even around the world. world, and our local audience is really the core of it.
Yeah.
So our local audience is already familiar with some of these, the Last Picture House and LeClaire Park and the Redstone Room. And if we can use those venues and places as a comfortable bridge to music that people might not be too familiar with, I think that's a great thing.
Well, and of course, you also have the other venues being the Presbyterian Church.
Yes.
You've got the Gravesite concert as well.
Yep.
And you also have Celebration Bell, so you're on the river as well, which seems perfect for jazz.
Oh, yeah. And then I'm also on the Channel Cat that Tuesday and the Thursday talking in the morning about Bix and playing original recordings of the 1920s. And then we're at the Knoxville Tap on the 29th on the Wednesday. That sold out already, so all the reserved seats are gone. That has literally just blossomed into this kickoff event now. So
well, it used to be the end, wasn't it? It used to be the
Sunday
night.
End. Right. Yeah, we're like, why don't we start it early? And so everybody loved that, and so they can get their Polish shooters, have a good time all weekend.
Yeah.
So that's what it's all about. So
and Bix played at Knoxville?
He did. It was called the Bluebird Inn back in the day.
Because, that blows me away.
That's another Bix venue, so we're bringing the music of Bix back to the Knoxville as well.
Let's talk about the music. Louis Armstrong's Hot 5 Centennial, Mike Davis's New Wonders, Jeff Barnhart's Fats Waller Legacy Band, the Chicago Cellar Boys, Oliver Smith Incomparables, and somebody, the Greystone Monarch, something like that?
Yeah, I think that's right.
Tell me about this lineup. What do you like about it?
Yeah, this is a great variety of music. You're going to have some 20s and 30s and even 1910s era music with this lineup. And it's all musicians from around the country who love Bix, who are passionate about the music of the 1920s. So when people come to listen to this, it's going to be the authentic sound. There's nothing watered down. It's arrangements that are right from the 1910s, 20s, and 30s. But it's the musicians on stage that are pouring their heart and soul into the music on stage for the audience.
Well, and the Jazz Society always has a tough job each year coming up with bands that represent the style of Bix music.
Right, exactly. And that's what we're going to have fun with Common Core and Bix moving forward, is like we're going to have a list of bands like, well, who do we want? Because then we want to just keep that nice variety in place for everybody, so when they come back to Davenport every year, they're getting that true Bix feeling.
Yeah, we're talking about the fact that this really does fit into Common Core's mission. And you just can't turn your back on the history of jazz in the Quad Cities.
It's a really important part of our local history. You know, folks are really familiar with the Bix race. They don't realize what that grew out of and the history of...
Shame on them.
We spoke about the riverboat cruise, right? The role the Quad Cities played in American music history, because we sat at the junction of the riverboats from down south to Chicago and the rail lines. So folks would come up, you know, players like Louis Armstrong would come up from New Orleans up here, they'd hop off the boat, they'd get on the train and go to Chicago. So we were this nexus point where that all connected, even including Memphis artists all around. So I think we forget that we have that history, and the Bix Jazz Festival is one of the things that really celebrates that, and that's part of why this made sense to team up, because Common Core is all about using music to improve our community, and you can't really do that unless you highlight how great our music history has been, not just from 1920, but I constantly hear stories about the Bix Jazz Festival packing LeClaire Park, and we've got old PBS videos when they were broadcasting live down there. It's a nostalgic piece for a lot of people, and those moments where people can come out and celebrate their community and how music helps make that happen, we're all about that. So it just totally makes sense.
So many people know your story about being the phenom in high school and the love of Bix and that music when you were just a kid.
Yeah.
And now you look back. Congratulations, 25 years for the Josh Duffy Orchestra this
year.
Yes,
yeah.
Congratulations, that is huge.
Well, thank you. I'm not a kid anymore.
I'm not
feel like a kid, but the music keeps me young, keeps me going.
And that's what I was wondering, because you've been associated with the society and with the Jazz Festival for so many years.
Yes, yeah.
You know the struggle, because you look at Blues Fest, which has had troubles. That's no secret there. You know, that's very tough for festivals to continue. How tough has it been in the last few years, and how do you think that this perhaps turns corner?
I don't think it's been as tough as what other festivals may have experienced for us. We also have our Bix Youth Band, and that has been around since 1998 when I was a member of that, and I came out of that, and now I'm playing professionally. So we're trying to teach these young students about the music of Bix and about where you can go with it. And when they see the musicians on stage, this gives them something to take when they go to college and then start playing in their own professional career after that. But for our festival, Festival, we've always tried to be something different than everybody else and have that niche market of Bix Beiderbecke, because we can claim him. He's from Davenport. And so we can say, hey, come to Davenport, experience the music of the 1910s, 20s, and 30s, and get that true Bix experience. But other festivals are like, well, just come to a jazz festival. But for us, they're getting a true experience downtown with the riverboat, with the silent films, with the music. It is a 1920s weekend for everybody.
But you're right that the world of festivals is really changing. We see it, you know, we work a lot in the rock and blues fields, and we see small and medium festivals disappearing all over the place. Even just seeing what happened with flight costs over the summer. I mean, that was a huge wrench in things, and if those prices stay high, a lot of festivals just can't afford to bring in artists if they're flying. They'd have to drive across the country. So all those little pieces make it more and more challenging, but all the more important for groups to team up and partner together. And work together to make something bigger to ensure that these really historical pieces and festivals in our community last.
Yes.
And that the public supports it. I mean, the ticket sales don't come near to paying for this thing. Without the donations that we get and sponsorships, it just would not happen.
And volunteers as well. I mean,
exactly. Yeah.
There's always been also a bit of a learning, as you brought up the youth band, but also scholarships. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Bix Society has made sure that the music lives on beyond our generation.
Yes.
And that also works well with Common Core.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And that's the thing is, this partnership, when it happened, it was just like, this is a great thing that's going to happen for the Quad Cities and for Bix and for that legacy. So I think now we can keep awarding the scholarships to these Bix youth members that when they go off, they're going to remember these days, because these musicians take the time when they're not on stage to talk to the young musicians, saying like, here's some things, here's some little tricks of the trade. That's how I got started, was with the band from Australia, the New Wolverine Jazz Orchestra. They took time to sit with me, and then they invited me down to Australia, and I got to play with them down there. And that just like let the fire build inside of me more to play this music. So there's something special and unique, because I don't see a lot of this happening other places. There's just something special about the Quad Cities and the support that they do show to Common Core and to the Bix Society.
And they do show the support, but I think sometimes we take it for granted. I mean, I want to address that as well, because of the world renown of Bix Beiderbecke. It is really amazing that I think people around here, like I said, take for granted.
Oh, the grass is always greener, right? We have a tendency in the Quad Cities and in the Midwest to, oh, you know, nothing's going on here. Other places are a lot more interesting. I think we need to celebrate our real history and celebrate the fact that there's a lot going on here. And there's really cool things. And musically, we're such a strong community. And people just forget that. You know, people will move here and say, oh, I just moved into town. I can't believe how much is going on here. But the person who grew up here and lived here for 40 years says, ah, there's nothing going on. I'm staying home. So we need to correct that mindset.
And we have like our big, I call it Bix Week. So when the race actually starts, there's going to be a week worth of events that people can go to. And so we're actually going to have a band on the Quick Bix route that's being sponsored by Common Core and the Bix Society there. That's going to be on the Quick Bix. So when people around that corner, here's a six-piece jazz band playing authentic 20s music for people to enjoy. Then we're going to be down in the Common Core courtyard at 10:30 a.m. playing there. So when people are done with the race, come down and get more music all the way until noon. And then the museum's going to be open so people can get that experience, hear the music. So we're giving them a little taste of what's to come. But yeah, every single day there is something all the way through August 2nd.
Well, the t-shirt says Bix Lives.
Yes.
There it is.
It just continues. Tell me about, because you've performed in England.
Yes.
I know you brought up Australia. I know you brought a band from Australia 1 year, which was fantastic.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It is a world-renowned man.
Yes.
Who died, at the age of 28?
Yes, 28. So he was born in 1903, passed away in 1931. And we honor him because he passed away on August 6th, so our festival really coincides close to his death date. But anytime that I travel overseas, and I mentioned I'm from Davenport, Iowa, oh, that's where Bix Beiderbecke is from, and they know him.
Does that blow you away?
Oh, it does, because I love it, because that shows just the impact that he has had on the entire world with his music. And so you think this music is now 100 years old, a little over 100 years old, but still is fresh and hot and exciting when you listen to it. But when you listen to the bands on stage, we're playing this music that was written 100 years ago. It does not sound like that. The excitement and energy that the audience feels from the band is just like the day it was written.
So where do we build from here? I know we're not even into this year's
festival. Well, we're going to get one done first.
Yeah, exactly. But I just have a feeling that you feel potential. That's why you guys are going in lockstep right now.
There's really tremendous potential. Obviously, the way festivals work, we're thinking a lot about 2027 already. We've made some decisions about 2027. We're making our list of bands already. It's a really long planning timeline. But beyond 1 year, the real opportunity for the Bix Jazz Festival is engaging more of our local community. We have an advisory committee made up of dedicated volunteers for Bix at Common Core, and we all said, what's the biggest thing we're trying to accomplish? And it's reaching our local community, creating those live music experiences to connect our local community to this music history and make sure it does live, and not just live as a museum piece, but live day to day in real-time experiences. So that's the possibility that's before us.
And if you haven't been to it, Rhythm City is a great venue. Everything's right there. Yeah. The stage is nice. The bands just come to you, basically.
Exactly, yeah, this is a great stage. We have Peeler Productions doing sound for us, and they always do a fantastic job. So it's not like a rock concert where you leave with your ears ringing. No, he has it balanced that you can enjoy all the nuances of the music. And then we're going to have slides are going to be playing as well, showing pictures and great information up there. But then we're going to have merchandise for sale. Bands will have their CDs, and then we're going to have, I think, a sheet music dealer. So there's a lot to just come out and experience for the entire weekend. And if you can't make it for the entire weekend, come for one day. So we have those passes available as well.
And challenge you not to have your toe tapping.
That is always the challenge. Yes.
Well, good luck this year. We appreciate you being here.
Oh, thank you so much.
Our thanks to Common Core Executive Director Tyson Danner and Bix Society Advisory Committee Member Josh Duffy. Once again, the 55th annual Bix Memorial Jazz Festival kicks off Thursday, July 30th with silent movies at the Last Picture Show and a free concert at the Putnam Museum, with concerts at the Rhythm City Casino Friday and Saturday. Just ahead, Bix Lives, keeping the history of the city's most famous cornetist in the public eye. But first, there's a lot of events to jazz up your July. Here's a few of them, thanks to Visit Quad Cities.
Check out the things to do this week in the Quad Cities. Start your week off by visiting the Figge Art Museum for free. Then head on over to the German American Heritage Center because they are also offering free admission. Next, celebrate the International Day of Play. You can expect family-friendly activities, a welcoming space, opportunities to learn and grow, and so much more. Next, celebrate the Bix Jazz Festival with concerts, a silent movie, and lots of fun. Finally, sit back and relax for a dinner and a show at Circa 21 Dinner Playhouse. For more events like these, check out our events calendar at visitquadcities.com.
It has been a long year for organizers of the Bix Beiderbecke Museum, now located in a new location in downtown Davenport. Despite delays, the museum is ready to fully open to the public in time for this year's celebrations. And joining us is the museum's director, Nathaniel Kraft. Talk about a big week right now. We've got the Bix Sevens going on, and then, of course, the Jazz Festival. It's a great time to have the doors fully open at the museum.
Yeah, we're excited. A bit late. We wanted to be here for last year's race and festival, but better late than never. We're really excited to finally be open and fully serviceable to the public.
So, what is the Bix Museum? How is it going to be different than what we saw at the Redstone Room? First off, you're not in a basement anymore, so that's good. But you had such a great permanent exhibit.
Yeah, the exhibit itself is pretty much the same. We add a few items, so we have Myth Mole's trombone is a new item. We've gotten a trophy that Bix won when he played tennis, and some small little items here and there. So we're adding some small things to kind of make it a little bit fresh, so people that have been through, they might stop and go, oh, that's new. Outside of that, we have a little bit extra space that we can show off some things that don't really fit the exhibit, because we have a storage room filled with artifacts that we got to keep, but we can't really show in like a timeline of his life, because some of it's after his life, some of it's kind of peripheral to him. Maybe it's some local musicians or artwork, things like that, that just kind of doesn't fit with the overall theme of the exhibit. And so we now have space to kind of show some new things.
I was going to say, so you have new space and also allows for temporary exhibits. What is the first temporary exhibit that you plan?
Well, since this year's the 55th anniversary of the Bix Festival, We figured, and because we got a large collection from Bill Donahoe, who unintentionally started the festival in 1971 when he played at Bix's gravesite to a crowd of 2,000 people that they didn't expect was going to show up to. We wanted to kind of show this history of where the festival kind of came from, and you know, many years. So we got a lot of posters. We recently got a bunch of footage from old festivals in the past that we're going to be playing on TVs, and collections from Bill's collection. So some of the stuff that he has from his band, old photos, things like that, and kind of give you a timeline of, you know, the last 55 years of what's been going on in the Quad Cities are revolving Bix's name.
And let's be honest, I think you keep a track of people who come and visit, that come to the museum. Are you surprised how many different nations, people from far from the Quad Cities, who almost make it a pilgrimage to come here?
Yeah, no, we got people from all over the world that come. I mean, just yesterday, we had five guys who were just traveling through town on just like a trip they do, and they're all from five different states. So, you know, I think one of the furthest was from Colorado, and they were just kind of hanging out in the Quad Cities. They called and said, hey, I want to go see the museum. And we're like, yeah, come in. You know, and we get people that just, they want to come to the Quad Cities to see the museum. They want to see his house, his grave. Sometimes, hopefully, they get to see the festival if they're here in August.
I was going to say, is it important to have this museum exist because it is here 365 days, 52 weeks of the year, as opposed to the Jazz Festival, which is maybe 4 or 5 days in 1 week?
Yeah, I really think so. I mean, because you see his face. I mean, they recently put a new mural down downtown, and Bix is featured in it. You know, you see his face, you see his name. There's businesses that use his name, or they name their food after him, things like that.
And, I name my dog after him.
Yeah. You know, you get we get people who tell us about their pets, or their kids are named after Bix, you know. And so we want people to know kind of why. And it's good to have something that people can go to and kind of learn, you know, because... Yeah, I'm not from here. When I first moved here, I thought the Bix 7 was an acronym. I didn't know it was a person's name. And I get that from a lot of people who come from out of town that come to, you know, call the Quad Cities their home. They know about the race. They might know about the festival. But they sometimes think that the name is maybe not a person's name. Or they think he's a runner.
Let's talk about your name as well, because it is the Bix Beiderbecke Museum and Archives. And you kind of cut off the archives thing every now and then. I do, at least. I mean, you have a lot of material from Bix's life and also from that era that people can use to study.
Yeah. Our archives is in the Richardson Sloan Special Collection Center in the downtown Davenport Library. We have old reel-to-reel tapes, letters, photos, lots of things from the Bix Beiderbecke, well, his family. That was gifted to the museum, and then also the Phil Evans collection, which is a large biography on Bix's life. And so we have all these, I think it's probably thousands of letters of him corresponding with musicians and people who knew Bix, you know, and this was in the 60s, 70s when he was making the book. And so you got people like Louis Armstrong or Red Nichols and Hoagy Carmichael talking about Bix on tape reels or letters that they've written to Phil, you know, trying to confirm certain dates or certain stories about Bix's life. And you're welcome to come to the library and let them know, hey, I'd like to go listen to some of the tapes or look at some of the letters and things like that, see some of the family's archives. And it's open to the public for people to use. And, you know, we want people to know that, you know, if you want to learn about Bix, you can use our archives. It's free for people to use. You know, if you're going to get things scanned and sent to you, you know, it might cost a little bit for that work, but we want people to know that, you know, if you want to learn about Bix, best place to go is Quad Cities.
And it's an interesting life, and it really is very much based, I mean, I know he died in New York City, but it's really based his life in Davenport. I mean, it is really where it all began.
Yeah, I really believe so. I don't think Bix would have become the kind of musician he was without growing up in Davenport. A lot of people might think that seems odd. It seems weird that a kid from Davenport's a big jazz sensation, because it's not really what people would think of with jazz hubs. But, you know, you had the river. You had this influx of German immigrants that were bringing all this music and culture around the time Bix was growing up, and they kind of fostered this in the school system and the communities that they built, you know, to jazz. I mean, most people, not jazz specifically, but music. They were playing music, they were sharing music, they were sharing art and culture. You know, we have one of the oldest symphonies because of this. And Bix was really at the forefront learning this as a kid when all this stuff was being built. And because of that, I think that's really why he became the musician he was, is because it was really fostered through this community that the Quad Cities have. That's very unique, that I think not many people, I think people take for granted a bit.
We talked about the Bix Jazz Fest in the segment before you joined us, and the need to make sure that the next generation carries on the tradition, carries on the music, carries on the legend. Do you notice that at all? Because I think a lot of older people embrace Bix in a way, and you're afraid of that dying off, for lack of a better way of putting it. But that the youth are starting to learn more about Bix.
Yeah, I think our biggest groups of people that come through the museum, you get older people that, you know, maybe they grew up going to the festival, or they still remember the 30s and 40s, you know, when big band and things like that was around. You know, and their kids not too excited, you know, they loved rock and roll kind of stuff. But you find that a lot of people's grandkids are now really interested in the 20s and the 30s and in the jazz era. And so we get, like, we'll get people that are, you know, 60 plus, and then we'll get people who are under the age of 40. And it's such an interesting dynamic of kind of the guests that kind of come through. And we're finding a lot of younger people, especially high school age kids, who are learning music, you know, in high school. And we'll get some that email us and say, hey, I would like to see some sheet music of Bix's music. You know, is there some place I can go to find some of his music for me to learn? I'm interested in learning about this stuff. And we'd love to foster that and hope, you know, kids growing up kind of get back into that. And, you know, I think jazz as an American form of music is very timeless. It's not a form of music that was in an era and it ended in an era. It's still evolving to this day. There's a lot of young musicians who are playing crazy forms of jazz you probably could never think of, you know, come around. And a lot of it is they're traveling the world and they're mixing together, you know, Asian music and South American music and European music with the jazz standard or jazz form, and they're kind of blending this stuff together in this kind of more modern era. And you find that in kind of Europe and Asia, there is a huge love for jazz that I think is a little lost here in America itself.
The museum is open?
We're open from 10 to 5 Monday through Friday and 10 to 2 on Saturdays, and we're open right now. So, you know, we're fully open, but also we're going to have a special grand opening for the Bix 7 race weekend. So from 3 to 5 on July 24th, we'll be out there playing some records in our lobby and letting people come see the museum.
And there's also some personal tours that are available if you call ahead?
Yeah, if you call ahead, we'd give you a guided tour.
And your new location, of course, is the old Junior Achievement Building, basically across the street from the Redstone Room where you used to be located.
Yep, so we're on 112 West 2nd Street. So we're between Brady and Main on 2nd. You know, if you're going to the Figgy, you can come see the museum too.
Our thanks to Bix Beiderbecke Museum Director Nathaniel Kraft. Once again, the museum's new location in downtown Davenport is in the old Junior Achievement Building across the street from Common Cord. On the air, on the radio, on the web, and on your mobile device, plus streaming on your computer, thanks for taking some time to join us as we talk about the issues on the cities.